flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
About a 34-yard field goal. He hit a 30-yarder at the other end of the field earlier. That was blocked. Rolling, picked up by Troy Brown. It's number 23. And that's Antoine Harris. And Antoine Harris has taken it to the end zone for a touchdown.
Troy Brown picked it up and ladders it to Harris. What a play.
RIP Greg Gumbel on the call.
The late, great Greg Gumbel.
CBS with Phil Simms.
He called that and the Patriots win over Wiggy in Super Bowl 38 for CBS.
Mm.
One of the great voices and hosts. I used to love Greg Gumbel on March Madness coverage on CBS.
Yeah.
Seemed like a guy that was very well respected.
You're calling that the birth of the dynasty?
So that
was a bit earlier than that.
That
still
was the scene of the greatest coaching decision that any coach has ever made, which is Bill, after that game, flying direct to New Orleans, because there was, I think that's the only time in my life there wasn't 2 weeks between the AFC-NFC championship and the Super Bowl, obviously after the 9/11 attacks.
Yep.
So that win was, speaking of Vrabel, talk about sweet, sweet revenge. Beating the Steelers, a team that you thought misused you in your first season with the Patriots, to prevent a team that was, I think they were favored by, what, 8-9 points in that game?
I mean, it was definitely. Pete Shepard called it. I want to give Pete credit. I was,
yeah, but if you always pick the Patriots
at the time. No, but everybody else was like, there's no way. They're not beating the Patriots. And Pete was, you're right, maybe just a total fanboy, but he predicted it and said they're on a run, and they got it done.
And the, what, the Patriots, over the course of their double decade, they stopped the Steelers from ever getting anywhere. I mean, 01 AFC championship game, 04 AFC championship game, 16 AFC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the absolute needle.
Yep. Steelers' success only happened when the Patriots stubbed their toe elsewhere.
Right. So you had the greatest show on turf, ready to win 2 out of 3, begin a dynasty in 01. The Patriots in New Orleans, the home of this Super Bowl 59, 2-touchdown underdog, beat that Rams team. You had the Peyton Manning led Colts, a team that was any other decade probably wins 3 to 4 Super Bowls. You stop them twice in the playoffs. You get to the second half of the dynasty. The Steelers, I mean, the Seahawks are about to go back to back against Peyton and Brady. You stop that. They stopped Mahomes from starting. Like, there was so many great, there were so many great teams that they had to get in the way of that would later win. Now, if the Bills go on and win with Josh Allen, I look at these losses or these victories differently. Because if a team wins a championship and you beat them, that same team in the playoffs, that tells me more than just beating a team that can't quite get there. So history may look back on these wins differently. However, at this point, the national conversation would be about how the teams the Chiefs have played have come up small. It's just, I can't, it's a je ne sais quoi.
Well, last week, is there any doubt, refs aside, Josh Allen had it. He had a chance. He had a shot. Couldn't get it done. He and the team, tight end dropped it too, but
right.
Still.
What the Patriots and Chiefs have in common is perceived or real. With the Patriots, it was, oh, they know their signals or whatever. They are listening to us in the locker room. I'm hearing Zolak on the broadcast, whatever.
Yep. When
Tomlin had said that.
Right.
It was like Red and the Celtics, where people entered the garden and they were like spooked before they went on the field.
Yep.
The Chiefs are intimidating their opponents into losses. And that's what the Patriots did. It's just the way in which we discuss, like, if Kareem Hunt were on the New England Patriots, do you think we'd see that hotel video occasionally? You know what I mean? Like, if Bill Belichick was Andy Reid and he was doing car insurance commercials, like, it's so unbelievable to me how a team that we see every week, I think all but one was on primetime or on national TV this year with the Chiefs. So we see them, we talk about them, and it's not like there are not bad things to say about players on that team that do bad things. And yet, it's all glossed over. It really is one of the more amazing things I have ever seen in sports. Jordan, when he went to play baseball, the gambling, we talked about it all. With Brady, we talked about it all. All of that.
Yeah, with Mahomes, there's not much, though. Just with Mahomes, you get the flopping, I guess. That's about it.
Could you imagine if that was Tom Brady? Come on, Ken.
Yeah. I mean, there was some narrative about it. It got a little run, but it's rare for him. You know, he's respected. It's tough.
And I don't have any, like, if you ask me about Patrick Mahomes as a player, there's nothing not to like.
Right.
The guy is awesome. He's accountable. He's brilliant. He's like,
he could be worse. He could be much douchier the success he's had.
And he's
deferential to your guy, to the GOAT.
I think they're deferential to each other. And
we're going to find out Sunday.
Right. It's going to be so fast. The only thing I can compare it to was that Monday night game, December 3rd, 2007, Patriots-Ravens, when Shula was in the booth with Kornheiser and Tirico banging their backs as the Patriots somehow kept the undefeated season alive.
Do you think Brady will embrace Chief Pete or Three Chief, the Jim Nance phrases?
No, I think that you're ready to see the avocado ice cream be replaced by a shot of vodka on live TV.
That would be great if he just starts boozing.
Oh, let's just get like the guy that was on the boat in Tampa. Aaron, you look great down there.
Oh, man.
But
it's going to happen. I mean, I can't believe the Eagles.
There's no way.
So it's done. So what happens? So Chiefs win three in a row. You get a lot of more Stephen A. Smiths calling Mahomes the GOAT.
Yeah,
Brady never did this. Is it going to infuriate you, or are you prepared for it?
So the one thing, and I completely understand the Patriot fans' mindset when they hear this, because I was listening to this radio station, going to college, working in this industry from, you know, really, I was 18 when they first won. So this is, you know, despite the gin, it's what I literally every week.
You remember some details erroneously, but you remember a lot of details.
Well, I mean, I remember the morning the Tomasi Sarri came out. I remember, there are so many things that were inaccurate that were then perpetuated for a generation.
Yep.
And so we approach it from a position of having to defend the honor of the organization, whereas the Chiefs are just reveled in. They are celebrated. It is 180 degrees apart. And I understand Spygate was a real thing.
Yep. That Robin Glazer in the tapes.
Really agitated fans. And if you give someone an inch, they'll take a mile. I also understand that we watch, as I said, we see more Chiefs games. We're all rooting against the Chiefs. So we enter every game with a bias. We see them more than any other team but our own. So we will note the bad calls more. I get all of that. But all of that notwithstanding, what Troy Aikman said on that broadcast, what the coach of the Bengals said on live TV saying it's fixed, when you watch that game, and I'm sorry, Josh Allen, he had that first down.
No, he totally had the first down.
It's not even close. I mean, it's close, but he had the first down. The guy that was on the closer sideline is running and then takes a detour. And so it, even as a fan of the game, like, let's give them that. Let's see if they score a touchdown. You know Mahomes will get the touchdown of the two-point conversion. We'll go to overtime. Like, nobody was saying that that would have absolutely won the game. But the second that was given to the Chiefs, was there a doubt in your mind that the Chiefs were going to win the game?
No, of course not.
It's, and that's where he is, Brady. Like, I heard Jones and Keefe talking about, you know, final minutes. In today's NFL, I might go Mahomes over Brady two-minute drive because of the inability to hit the quarterback and how he's able to master that.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there's no, if Brady's in
definitely
trouble,
different era.
He's not going to be elusive. And I mean, in every the Super Bowl last year, what was it, like a 40-yard run Mahomes had to set up in overtime maybe or at the end of regulation? There was just this play, and it's like he doesn't use it. He's gotten very smart in protecting himself, but he uses it when he needs to.
Well, the referee for Super Bowl 59 is Ron Torbert. The Chiefs are 3-1 in his four games calling their action. He this season has reffed 18 games and tallied the fourth most flags per game per NFL penalties database referee crews. So there could be a lot of flags in this game, and he might be pro-Chiefs. So just putting that out there.
You know the stat I saw from our old colleague Ryan Hannibal? Or Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Vic Fangio? You know his record against Mahomes?
0-8.
0-8?
Jeez. Please do.
And I want to give Scheim credit. He texted me.
Even Dick LeBeau beat the Patriots once.
He was even. He did say those things. He did say his bet of the year was the Commanders plus 6.5.
Scheim is very upset. I also hit Chiefs and James Cook, so I broke even, you bleep.
Right.
What a text from Scheim.
It's just, you know, having
it's like
some
road
fun.
Rage driving down from Nashua. Do you agree with Curtis that Kansas City's issues have been swept under the rug in comparison to the Pats? 617-779-7937 and that of Mahomes and, of course, the ref treatment. Let's go to Providence and talk to JP. North Providence. Hi, JP.
We'll probably have a rough in the past on Mahomes. It's a coin toss. Curtis, I 100% agree with you. You know, we go long back. I don't call the show much anymore for when you're on. I give you credit yesterday for not losing your mind with Wiggy. You're the voice of reason on the morning show. I 100% agree with you. KC is like Dallas of the 90s. You had guys doing coke, guys getting in trouble. Nope, America's team washing under the rug. 100% agree. It's good for ratings. But it's so obvious, it's obvious. And I agree with you 100%, Curtis.
Good to hear from you, JP. So, JP. The other thing.
By the way, you can listen to this preferential treatment right here on WEI, free on the Odyssey app, the Super Bowl 59, every sack, every game-winning touchdown opportunity, all here, all for free. Download the Odyssey app, AUDACY.
So the Patriots and the Seahawks is the highest-rated Super Bowl of the last 25 years. And you know what that had? Wall-to-wall, nightly news, the NFL and its number one team, cheaters.
This one has wall-to-wall State Farm commercials supporting it.
So anybody who thinks bad ref talk is bad for the NFL is not paying attention. This is all great. It's a big business, and I don't know. I may be more shocked if the Eagles win today than I was that the Patriots beat the Rams in 0-1.
Oh, how about Eagles beating Brady in 2018, which would be more unlikely.
That was the other one. You see, hear the show this week. They said, he was sick. That's why Butler didn't play. So they had him on the bench crying.
You would think Butler would have said that at some point.
Like, how are people, are they that protective of Bill Belichick? They can't just accept that he made an awful decision to protect a family member?
Let's go to Nick in Boston. Good morning, Nick.
Morning. Hey, Curtis, I'm just curious. Have you watched this, the Mad Dog series, The Verdict on Brady and Belichick? The second one came out for Belichick this week, and it was pretty impressive. I mean, I agree with it. Brady had more to do with it, but they made a really strong case for Belichick. And again, he doesn't play, so he's not the ultimate deciding factor. But it was a really, really good series, and I think the next episode is going to go into the Spygate and things like that. I'm just curious what you thought of that, or if you've seen it.
So I did. I saw thank you, Nick. I did see the it's on Vice. I sent it to the group.
Ted Johnson featured
it. Ted Johnson's featured in it. I started it, and candidly, I just
You're oversaturated.
No. It slipped my mind. I'll watch it this weekend. I'll give everybody a review Monday on the Greg Hill Show.
Very good. Scheim coming up, by the way, at 11:40. I would like to revisit when he joins one of your leads this week. Very interesting. I thought you made an interesting point. You pulled some facts out. I don't know if you were. I think it was based on an article. Anyway, we'll get to that. First, here's Zach Cohen, what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
5 seconds left. A chance to win this in regulation. Tatum going to work. Elbow jumper. Yes, sir!
That's how it sounded last night as Jason Tatum drilled a fadeaway jumper with 0.2 seconds left to lift the Celtics past the New Orleans Pelicans. 118-116, the final from New Orleans. Jaylen Brown led the way for the Seas with 28 points, while Tatum had 27 of his own. Next up, a trip to Philadelphia to take on the 76ers. That one goes down tomorrow night. Tip-off from the Wells Fargo Center, set 4-6. Bruins look to bounce back after Thursday night's drubbing at the hands of the Winnipeg Jets when they host the New York Rangers this afternoon at the Garden. Puck drop set for 3:30. Speaking of those New York Rangers, yesterday they made a big trade acquiring forward JT Miller from the Vancouver Canucks in exchange for forward Filip Hedl, a protected first-round pick and a prospect. Miller is expected to make his Rangers debut this afternoon at the Garden. Busy day of college hoops as conference play is in full swing. Some notable games today include number 5 Florida in Knoxville to take on number 8 Tennessee, number 20 Missouri taking on number 14 Mississippi State, number 25 UConn in Milwaukee for a matchup with number 9 Marquette, and UNC heading to Duke to take on the number 2 Blue Devils. Don't forget you can hear Westwood One's coverage of that one right here on WEEI, coverage starting at 6:15. My name is Zach Ho, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ken and Curtis, WEEI.
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 I would take Chris Jones as, and maybe this is like the capstone on this Chiefs dynastic run, which would make them, apologies to everyone in the New England area, this makes it the greatest run in the history of the NFL.
Oh, if
the
my Chiefs, God.
There's no argument.
What are you talking about?
It's over. If the Chiefs win, it's done.
The
Patriots didn't three-peat in either of their runs in the 2000s or 2010s.
I refuse to listen to a grown man with a teardrop tattoo on his face.
Yeah, well.
Told you there are going to be a lot of people out there, Greg, saying it.
Costos yesterday, BetMGM Network, You Better You Bet, on with the Greg Hill Show. My buddy Chris Curtis was there to witness that. Listen to that as we all were listening in. Costos, a New York sports fan, so he's got an angle, as everybody else does. But there it is, the start of the week. Do you hear a lot of that? Anticipate a lot of that this week.
Yeah.
Greatest dynastic run in the history of the NFL if the Chiefs win next week.
Here's why, despite the great disparity in coverage between the Patriots' approach to history and the Chiefs, it will always be far sweeter to come from the side of the Patriots with everybody saying you can't, you won't, you never will, versus giving them the flowers before the time has come to actually receive them. So I said this yesterday on the Greg Hill Show. The single best moment as a Boston sports fan of my life, just singular moment, not win, outcome, drive, singular moment is Malcolm Butler's interception. There has never been a single play that did more than you can say the tuck rule outcome, but that play just gave you an opportunity to go down the field. You still had a couple fourth downs you had to convert. You had to win it in overtime.
What about the Vinatieri kick?
Vinatieri kick, single moment, very big play. You can make that argument. That could be a good one.
How about Pete Carroll?
That's his decision. I guess that's the precursor for the interception, obviously. But in terms of what that single catch by Malcolm Butler did, stopped back-to-back from the Seahawks against Manning and Brady, restarted the second half of the best dynasty in American sports history, and just all of the Spygate, Deflategate, you were looking at going 3-3. You were going to be the Bills, losing 3 straight Super Bowls, and that changed.
And Brady just hired the guy who made that decision.
And did you see the reporting bizarre from Mike Florio, Mr. They Love Each Other? Bill Belichick irked that they went with Pete Carroll.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Why is he irked? He turned down the job, did he not?
I don't know that he did. I think that they gave him
a
perfunctory interview.
Oh, and then they pulled the rug out from under him.
I guess.
So maybe it's not always respect or whatever Brady was bloviating about there earlier.
I mean, do you honestly think if they offered Bill Belichick the job to be the Raiders head coach, he'd be coaching at North Carolina?
I guess you're right. It was bizarre. The whole thing was bizarre.
So let's just stipulate that. So he wasn't offered a head coaching job in the NFL, correct?
You're saying Florio's reporting this or speculating this?
Speculating.
I do like Florio. It's hard to believe Bill would turn that down.
Right.
So if you ask me to...
two coaching cycles, Bill doesn't get offered a job.
I mean, he would have got the Dallas job, too. What is this Brian Schottenheimer stuff? Is that bizarre?
But this is why what you do with this is so disingenuous. Because if a team chose Blaine Gabbert over Tom Brady, you'd mock Tom Brady. But now you're...
I have mocked Bill plenty.
No, but I'm saying you're mocking what are they doing with Brian Schottenheimer instead of saying, can you believe they chose Schottenheimer over Bill?
I think Bill miscalculated. He should have wrote it out, and he should have taken the Dallas job.
Or Bill's. If Bill Belichick is out there today, does Pegula pull the plug?
How bizarre is it that after that, Denver gets the job done with Von Miller and Peyton Manning? In between that dynastic run, there's the Eagles lost, but there's also the Peyton Manning year, who, if not for Brady, would be top two or three quarterback of all time. Brady has wrecked Peyton's legacy for sure.
He's wrecked. So the reason why they're talking about the Patriots and Brady is that Mahomes is peerless. And actually, Nick Wright, of all people, a couple years ago when the Patriots or when the Bucks won, said that if Mahomes and Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger played, or Eli Manning played, in any other era, they would be viewed as all-time greats. I grew up, Brett Favre won one and was like celebrated widely as this great quarterback. John Elway
still
went,
is.
John Elway went 2-3,
yeah,
and only won when he had Terrell Davis, and was celebrated. Whereas if Mahomes goes to 3-2. It's going to be, you know what I'm saying?
Well, he's already 1-2. It's Brady Mahomes, for most people.
No, I agree.
So, he's past Montana, and in most people's minds, even though he's not has not won four.
Right.
Let's go to Jack and Quincy on the phone lines on the Kenny Curtis Show. Hello, Jack. Jack.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah.
What's going morning. On? What's on your mind?
Well, there's a few things, but... Curtis, before I lay into you, I want to acknowledge what you've been through, and I appreciate it because I'm struggling myself. But besides that point...
Jack, no matter what you say, I love you, bud, and I hope you're well.
Yeah, I am good. I am good. But, you know, you kind of get on my nerves during the week, but I appreciate it. I've been listening to EEI's, since Ken Coleman was calling the Red Sox games. And Ken.
Yes.
Ken? Yeah. Yeah. Let the air fryer go in the producer's place, will you?
Let the air fryer go. Stiz, bro.
Anyway, that's what usually the Belichick people sound like, just so you know. Almost all of them.
Well, so I'm sure he was upset with your Belichick take, so it is what it is.
But it's upset, but there's literally nothing. The facts of the case are simple. Bill has had a decade absent the best quarterback of all time. And he is 20 games under, 10, 15 games under, whatever the total is, under 500. Mm-hmm. He created Tom Brady. Then he also created nobody else.
Well, Jimmy G.
And Tom
should
Brady
have won that Super Bowl.
Tom Brady left. And if you want to say
Emmanuel Sanders short-arming that deep ball, Niners would have had one.
That's, you know,
with Jimmy.
Ifs and nuts were candies and nuts.
Ifs and butts.
Ifs and butts. Every yes. day would be Untadonkafest. that's Dwight Schrute. So the reality is that it's okay. Like, it's great. I get it. Bill did a great job. His decision to stick with Tom over Drew Bledsoe is the greatest decision of all time. But what Wiggy kept going back to is just factually inaccurate. The Patriots... Because he's like, if he was drafted by the Browns or the Saints, the Patriots were the Browns. They were the Saints. Entering week two of the 2001 season, after the awful days of a day of 9/11, the Patriots hosted the Jets. And in the broadcast, CBSSportsLine.com, HTTP, however you used to do on Prodigy, all the massive website that you had to type in, had its power rankings. The Patriots were 32nd. And in the blurb, the witty quip was, because there are only 32 teams.
Yeah, but you're a little disingenuous there. They went to the Super Bowl in 97, 96 season, right? So that was 4 years prior. So they still had some players from that team on the roster. Parcells had made them.
They had Super Bowl players, and they went 5-11 with the greatest coach of all time?
But they were not the Browns. They were not the Saints. They had gone to the Super Bowl recently.
What does that have to do with getting...
They had recent success. They had good players.
The
Jaguars
went to the Super Bowl in 96. Were they a great team in 2001?
I don't care about the Jaguars. I'm talking about this Patriots team. Ted Johnson was on that team. Ted Johnson was still on the team in 01. There were players like that that were still around.
Okay, the Patriots were in the Super Bowl 4 years ago at the start of last season. They won four games.
Okay, I'm talking about this particular era, 97 through 01.
You're not helping the Belichick cause if you're saying they were a Super Bowl team and they were 5-13.
I'm saying he had some talent to work with. He inherited some talent.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that when they say that if he was drafted by these other teams, the team he joined was 5-13.
I get it. But if he had gone to the Browns, to Wiggy's point, I don't see Brady winning six Super Bowls in Cleveland. I just don't.
Okay, but...
Belichick and Parcells had built a structure. You're right. The year prior, and with Pete Carroll, was kind of a mess. There were some tools in place. And obviously, Belichick made a difference. But we said we wouldn't get into all that.
Yeah, we're not doing it again.
Now, you had a lead this week.
Yeah.
About gambling. Shime's on his way in for the cross in about 15 minutes or so. Big gambler. We all are these days. Do you have those factoids? Not bad transition with the previous caller about addiction or whatever. But it is amazing. Gambling is now like a daily part of my life. Not daily in the football season, daily, but like weekly, definitely weekly. You check the app, you're on, you put money on a game more so than it recently was. And these numbers I thought were just kind of eye opening.
So my godfather, my uncle John Silvestro, big time Hadley guy, used to be a professor at UMass to the left of you, but one of my OGs, love the man. In this Yahoo story that he shared with me, and he's been very outspoken with me about the perils of allowing or legalizing sports betting in Massachusetts and everywhere else.
Just like to say, I brought this up before it was legalized and got shouted down on the morning show, as you recall.
But I was on your side
you
in
were?
These conversations.
I don't remember that.
Well, I was a silent agreeer. The troubling findings come via personal finance site NerdWallet regarding sports betting, which surveyed more than 2,000 American adults about their sports betting proclivities. It found that 20% of Americans say they have bet on sports in this past year, not including dog or horse racing mutt, which amounts to a 67% increase from the 12% who reported the same thing in the same study the year prior.
This is nationwide.
U.S. ago. Yeah. 2,000 sampling of all Americans.
Yep.
Sports bettors reported spending $3,284 on average over the past calendar year.
On average, $3,200 in a year.
That's 80% higher than the average the prior year, which was $1,800. What's potentially worse is the mentality some bettors are bringing to the practice. Almost one-third, 31% of sports bettors view gambling as an investment. 65% say they place bets to make some extra spending money, while 61% do so because they enjoy gambling. And 14% of those responding say they have gone into serious debt as a result of their gambling. 29%, almost a third, say they intend on gambling more next year than they did this year.
Yeah. Well, the more comfortable you get with it, and the prop bets will suck you in, especially in football season and the playoffs. You get a little prop money here, a little prop money there. I could see it ramping up. But that is definitely, I like it. It's made life more fun for me. But if you're looking around and 15% of the public is in debt because of it, that's not great. I would admit that's a little downside.
Right.
To what's going on here.
Just to the texter, the team goes 5-13. They were 5-11 and 0-2. Math is hard. But yes, so the way that I approach...
You don't see many of these stories. I don't know anybody in my life that's like gone broke. I don't have a personal connection to this or...
Well, candidly, we do business with... We just played Costos. He does a great job. We do business with sports betting companies, and they advertise on this radio station. So it doesn't behoove us to talk about all the negatives, even though we do, in every ad, people... Whoever is the advertiser gives you the number to call if you have trouble. I'm a libertarian in that sense. Like, I want people to be able to choose and do what they want to do.
In most cases, I find you'd be right down the middle.
I would also say that just knowing my own personality, I haven't engaged. It's just not something that but I will say...
You're worried about it because of alcoholism.
There's not... The downside is massive.
You
and the
seem
upside.
Out of control to me right now.
after day, I come in bitching about a pickup truck. But I I don't want to start out good at it because then I'll convince myself that I'm really good at it and then I'd lose a bunch of money. But I will say the inability to do it with a credit card is a smart thing from my perspective.
Yeah, like, though, that's definitely key.
In states, that was something else in the story later down, that there were states where you are able to wager on sports with a credit card, which has created massive credit card debt.
But I do worry for Scheim. I mean, not to be like make jokes about it. He shares his, you know, his money spent on the year, and the math gets, the math doesn't math
that
all
to
the
me?
Time.
$200 down, $17,000 total bet.
Even this exchange here about last week, I broke even, you bleep, you know, like, so to, we're getting very passionate about breaking even and, not, you know. And,
to Scheim, just as a listener, it's not entertaining when you win. It's funny when you lose.
Well, like, he's very fun. He's very funny then. Let's go. Let's go to.
He's like Pryor.
Let's go to Dave in Boston. I do.
Hey, Curtis. Yeah, I just want to chime in a little bit on the Belichick thing. I just want to see, you know, I've heard you rant and rave a few times. I just want to see, you know, exactly where you stand. I don't get to listen to every show.
Why don't we start with where you stand, and then I'll react.
Well, I mean, I'm curious, do you think it was just Tom Brady the whole way through that 20th?
I'm just asking Dave your opinion on the matter, and I will react to it.
I'm trying to figure out your, like, I'm trying to find out where you stand.
You're on the line. I would like to hear what you think, and then I will share what I think, and then we can talk about it.
All right. So my theory is I think that Belichick was responsible for most or a lot at the beginning. Like, Brady was very young. They had, you know, had the reins on him a lot. We made a lot of defensive plays, special teams plays that helped, you know, defensive game plans in those Super Bowls and the playoff games against Indy that helped stifle.
Who was the most important special teamer on that team, Dave, would you say?
Troy Brown.
I would say someone else had a little bit more importance on special teams.
Well, Troy Brown ran a touchdown back.
I know. Well, Troy Brown, that works for my argument anyway. Troy Brown and Adam Vinatieri, both Parcells guys.
Okay, so, but they were coached under Belichick at the time.
So Parcells coached Vinatieri not to kick well?
No, what are you talking about, dude? Like, this is silly. Like, they still played for Belichick.
No, I know, but so you said it was mostly Bill at the beginning, and you're saying special teams. Well, the teams that was successful was brought in by Bill Parcells.
And they were coached by Belichick, and the game plans were by Belichick.
How do you coach a kicker?
After Parcells left.
How do you coach a kicker?
I'm not talking about kicking. I'm talking.
You said they were coached by Belichick.
They got the wind direction pregame.
They did when they were closing the Oculus in Super Bowl 53.
He was the head coach. So is he not coached by them, or is it?
What about Brad Seeley, the special teams coach?
He was a great guy. He was a Parcells guy too. No, Dave. I think it's very well established. I think that the best thing Bill Belichick ever did was stick with Tom Brady. If Mo Lewis never hits Drew Bledsoe, then Bill Belichick gets fired as the head coach of the Patriots, and there's no dynasty.
Oh, I don't think so. He was about to get benched anyway.
Dave, that is the greatest revisionist history I have ever heard. There wasn't a single story that week that was said, oh, this actually is beneficial to the team because they were ready to put Brady in. Not written, not reported, not stated anywhere.
Oh, so because a reporter didn't say it, it's not true.
How do you know it, Dave?
Because me and the people that were sitting in the stands watching, the people that were, like, watching the Brady development from year one to year two.
What was the development that you saw in year one to year two?
Like, in training camp, he just looked a lot, like, smoother. He got rid of the ball quicker. He moved the ball. Like,
so you were at Bryant College in the summer of 2001 saying that Tom Brady was throwing the ball better?
What's that?
Okay. All right, well, you know. What is fascinating to me is that Wiggy and Ty Law feel like they would have won with Bledsoe, but yet they do give Bill credit for the decision and agree it was a good decision.
If Wiggy truly believed that they would win with Bledsoe, then giving Brady more credit is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I know that's so it is a little contradictory in some
you think
phases. Some phases, I think he's trying to get his.
I think if Greg
together.
Wanted Wiggy to say that Tom was better, he'd make a similar argument in my favor.
Oh, boy. So, it's Super Bowl week. You can listen here a week from today. And also 3 weeks away, Curtis, first spring training game. Can you believe that?
Do you know what the Patriots...
Baseball is upon us.
In between this year one to year two jump, do you know what the Patriots did?
What?
They gave Drew Bledsoe the biggest contract in NFL history to play quarterback.
I know. I heard the Bledsoe stuff this week.
But Dave in Boston says that they were all in his seats talking about the jump Brady made at Bryant College. Hey, it's so laughable.
Maybe he wasn't Bryant College.
It's just, he was ready. Like, that's a Glenn Ordway thing. Like, oh, they were ready. It's like, no. It ended up being clear that you had to go with Tom. And the reason Ty Law and Wiggy say that about Drew is because they were veterans and they felt bad because no player wants to see another guy lose his job because of an injury.
But looking forward rather than looking past, are you excited? Do you expect a Patriots fireworks offseason upon us? Do you expect a Red Sox back in contention summer? Are we in for a good year?
I hope.
Celtics back-to-back. Bruins retool overhaul, or they go nuts and they acquire. Is this going to be a good year or a dud in Boston sports?
I think it'll be a good year.
I think so, too. Pretty good. Not great.
BC Hockey taking down the Huskies Monday night.
No, that'll be a three-peat. That'll be a
three-Huskies. Do you think Cam Newton would rather win the Beanpot or MVP?
I think MVPs are the most important thing you could possibly win. Scheim is the most important thing at this station. We'll bring him into the mix next with your phone calls.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Whole season for Buffalo on the line here. There they come. He just desperately throws it up in the air. Incomplete. Kincaid was right there. There is a flag.
What was that? Has that ever been? What was wrong? Who told him?
There was not a flag.
So I was told there was originally a flag for Deion Dawkins taking his helmet off on the field, but because he was just like congratulating the Chiefs, they just picked it up and didn't bother with it.
So Nance wasn't in the bag for the
Chiefs? No, because Harlan also called a flag on the field, but come to find out it was originally going to be on Deion Dawkins for removing his helmet in the field of play, who's a Bills player, by the way, for those who didn't know. And so because it was the end of the game, they just picked it up and assisted replay.
So he had his helmet off.
Correct.
During the play, not after.
No, as soon as the play was over, in the field of play, he took his helmet off and started congratulating Chris Jones.
But when the ball's landing, you don't have your helmet off and have that called
No, no, no. The flag came out after the ball had landed.
But you just heard Nance say it in the moment. It was very quick. Very quick.
That's what I was told. That's what I...
I think that that's... Not blaming you.
No.
I think that that is... Because...
Scheim has been briefed.
In the field of play, think about the skirmish at the end of the Super Bowl 49 when Gronk and whoever it was, Bobby Wagner, were throwing bows. There was a million flags.
Well, even just I want to say it was last year in a Panthers Falcons overtime game, PJ Walker throws a missile to DJ Moore or whatever it was for a touchdown, and he took his helmet off right after he scored the touchdown and got a flag, so they missed the extra point. I think that's kind of what had happened. The play happened, Deion Dawkins immediately took his helmet off and was started shaking Chris Jones's hands or whatever.
So here's what Nance said, according to Jimmy Trania of SI. When you have flags on the field, they can be thrown in the secondary, the backfield, all over the place. So there's a spotter, under the bus, that works in coordination with the broadcast team. And the spotter had popped the yellow flag on the bottom of the screen 20 seconds after saying there was a flag. There wasn't one. So the spotter, I guess, Nance didn't see a flag.
That guy's been fired. Yeah.
And that person
relocated.
Because that is the worst thing the NFL could have happened. Harlan had, he said, based on the flag designation. So Harlan used the flag designation that the CBS feed had when he
went off TV and saw a flag.
Got it.
So, yeah. So that's interesting. I want an all-22. I want a Zapruder film of that field.
Oh, boy.
Probably pull up the all-22 now that I think
because
of it.
Considering how that game had went, that was the last thing you want to have said
in
that moment. But God, Kincaid, what a horrible drop.
It's so brutal. Josh Allen finally makes the play he needs to make, and the tight end just right through the eyes.
Who do you feel worse as, Andrews or Kincaid today?
Oh, it has to be Kincaid.
I think so, too, because Andrews was so great this year.
No. Andrews' catch was much easier.
No, it wasn't. Going backpedaling and to his side, the ball was at his hip. I don't know. I just feel like the Kincaid one was in such a bigger moment. It meant so much more to Buffalo than that Andrews one meant to.
Reaching. It was a prayer.
But Andrews catches that, and the Bills still have a minute and 30 seconds to go down the field and get 3 points.
Yeah, but Andrews, it's there. The game's tied, right? So that's it. You're in. It's all you got to do is catch it. It's
If that's caught, you're in field goal range at the bare minimum, and you're going to overtime.
Yeah.
That was literally the line on the broadcast.
Ravens catch it.
Bass was kicking like he was Vinatieri on
and it would have been first down. Like Josh Allen was going to get more yards.
And there was how much time left? A minute 50?
At least it was like a minute 30, I think.
Yeah.
Well, let's go over to the Bills and the future. Do you think, and by the way, Chris Scheim joining us.
But just quickly, so you know how I always like this on the ESPN game cast, you can see percentage victory chance.
Yep.
If they complete that pass, down 390 seconds, it's definitely the edge is the Bills win that game.
Oh, the Bills like 70% chance to win that game. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but looking back in a year.
A minute 39 left on the clock.
I mean,
you'll say Josh Allen didn't get it done.
The Bills would milk it so that they wouldn't
James Cook would have gotten carries.
Totally.
I disagree. I won't remember Kincaid's drop. I'll remember
Andrew's drop more because of what it meant for Lamar Jackson in that moment. But if I'm a... I understand what you're saying, but as a general
potato, potato, we disagree.
Okay.
T. Higgins, will he be going to Buffalo, to Baltimore, to Kansas City, or do the Patriots have a chance in 6 weeks?
I don't know if he's going to any of those teams, but I can tell you for, I would say, 90% certainty he's not coming to the New England Patriots.
Yeah, see, I agree.
It's
sad but true.
I think the Patriots should make every effort they can to get him. I don't think he leaves Cincinnati.
So with that knowledge, do they trade the pick for A.J. Brown or somebody of that ilk?
I don't think the Eagles will be trading A.J. Brown either. I don't think he's available. I don't think...
Well, you took the under. You've been down on him. What a horrible bet that was.
Yeah, you know, that it happens. Sometimes you swing and miss, Ken.
I just give credit to a text, 781? The refs threw the flag because they were ready to call holding against the Bills if Kincaid caught the pass.
Totally.
That is an excellent point.
Yeah,
sorry.
And no, I look at the wide receiver class. I don't think, like... Your best hope is you're going to get Hollywood Brown coming off three-peat with the Chiefs. To me, that kind of seems like your best option at this point. Oh. I don't think there's anybody in the trade market, nobody that's worth the fourth overall pick at least. So you're kind of just in no man's land at the moment when it comes to receiver.
So do you draft the receiver? Huh?
Yeah, in the second round.
Not Travis Hunter?
No, I wouldn't draft Travis Hunter if you had three first-round picks.
What about T-Mac?
I love T-Mac. I'm a big T-Mac guy. I think four is a little high. If you're going to take T-Mac, you could probably trade down. If the Raiders really, really want Shedeur Sanders, that's probably your bet.
All I think about is Tracy McGrady.
That's cool. Yeah, T-Mac plays like he's Tracy McGrady.
I love it.
Edge to
it. Can I give a big... I mean, I remember I broke the Milan news. You wouldn't have known it on our website, but I broke that story.
Yeah.
Milan Lucic.
Yes, you did.
Dirtbag news.
You and Keefe.
Keefe's right. And the other is there will be a massive Bruins-Rangers brawl in the game today.
Ooh. This could be a spicy game.
I like this.
I think it's like somebody's pissed. They're like, we're at home. We're facing the Rangers.
They just traded for JT Miller, right?
Made a big deal. This is the Boomer versus Boston game. And by the way, Boomer out on a limb saying the Mets were going to sign Alonso yesterday, and it didn't happen.
Tough one,
Boomer. That means the Red Sox are still in?
Is Bregman signed this weekend by a team?
No, they've got until the 12th, so that'll go right up until pitchers and catchers report.
And by the way, why aren't our flights booked? I looked yesterday, they're like $15.
You know, you and Milbury are so impatient. God, things take time.
Well, we're going away in 2 weeks.
Well, that's not 2 weeks. You're going away the 23rd.
Okay, I mean...
Three weeks.
There's
a Spirit Airlines flight waiting for you. Don't worry. We're going to get you down there.
It's never been safer time to fly if you watch the news.
Curtis is thrilled.
Our poll question today, more likely to happen over the next 6 weeks. One was T. Higgins. We agree that's not going to happen.
Yep.
One was Bregman. That's the least likely. Leading the poll, Bruins trade Marchand. 40% over Celtics shedding salary at
when
some point this week.
When is the deadline again?
For the NBA, it's this week. For the NHL, it's a month away. It's in March.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I 100% believe Brad Marchand is going to get traded. Like that's
which is amazing.
It feels right to me, though. This team needs an attitude change. They need a whole...
You guys are more hockey guys than I am, even
sure.
though I'm a big puckhead.
Yeah, massive.
How seriously do people take the goal differential in the NHL? Because if anybody does, the Bruins are nowhere near even as good as they are right now, which is not very good, because they have the second worst goal differential in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, they're terrible.
God, I need glasses. They're minus 29 in goal differential. The only team with the worst one is the John Henry Penguins.
It's because when they lose, they get absolutely blasted, and when they win by a narrow margin.
Right.
Like it's brutal. They either need an insane performance by their goaltender or they get absolutely throttled. There's no in between because they don't have the offense. They have one line that's been producing at all. It's that geeky Pastrnak line, and that's primarily because David Pastrnak has been awesome over the last month.
Well, and working against Marchand, the team seems to unravel. If you're the captain or the head coach, they seem to unravel in third periods or just collapse too often.
And I would also add good news if you're looking to move Marsh. After today, only 13 regular season home games on the docket for the Bruins. This will be their 28th home game this year. They've only played, 24 road games. So they will be,
there's another reason to trade.
Right, because if you get these out of the way before the deal, then...
As you know, Curtis, last change, very important to the NHL.
Well, you want to know.
Massive.
I mean, who is that wild, weird, short guy that had the...
DJ Bean.
Thought you were going to go a different direction.
Just kidding. Loved you, DJ.
The guy that coached the Tampa Bay Lightning that had the weird name that was like short and... What was his name?
Oh, yeah, with the scar.
Yeah.
Before John Cooper.
The year that they beat them in the game 7, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the great goals was that Horton.
Guy Boucher.
Guy Boucher. Good pull.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm a big Guy guy.
Yeah, I love Guy.
French-Canadian.
Coming up, it's the Scheinman Mego Show to be followed by Bradfo. Baseball isn't boring today. And then John Lyons and Duke, North Carolina. So it's a big day at EEI. What's coming up on the Scheinman Mego Spectacular?
Mego is hot and bothered by how the people are treating the Celtics. So we'll dive into that. We'll also get into a bunch of Patriots. A little bit of draft talk. Curtis, I know that's your favorite thing on the planet.
I love it.
We got it all locked and loaded here in the next 2 hours.
All right, don't go anywhere. Mego and Scheinman coming up next.
And Bregman will sign during the Bradfo Show.
Oh, cool. Okay, right? Okay.